Hello, everybody. Welcome back to episode 103.1 as part of a series of videos here.
Audios.
Oh, yeah, audios. Yeah, we don't do video. Audios, whatever.
This is an audio series.
Yes, this is an audio series, guys. Welcome to this episode here of the Rocket Punch Cast. I'm one of your hosts this evening, Cameron. I'm joined by my always good friend, Will.
Hey, buddy.
What's going on, man?
Well, I'm caffeinated, so that's a good day.
We're going to need it. We've got some great content to show for you guys. I'm sure people, they were popping around last week, in case you didn't know, it was E3. They were probably like, man, where's Rocket Punch's E3 reactions? I know they have their post-show stuff on their streams, but where's like their full analysis of everything that happened at E3? Guess what? You're listening to it right now. We had to take a quick breather to go ahead and get ready to, you know, to process everything, but the reason this is episode 103.1 is that this is the first in a multi-part series here. We're actually going to be going through each of the conferences that happened at E3, all the games we saw, what we liked, what we didn't like, what should have been burned in the fire. All of that stuff's going to be laid to rest here with us here at the Rocket Punch Desk. So stay tuned here. Let's get going first, of course. Do a little housekeeping in case you didn't know. This is the Rocket Punch Cast, where groups of friends from all over come around this table to talk about video games into microphones. You can listen to the podcast every Tuesday on your podcast service of choice. You can also watch us live as we're recording the show over on twitch.tv/rocketpunchlive every Sunday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'm not doing it this week because we get because of all we're doing with E3 and these multi-part series.
This is a weird amalgamation of monster episode broken into mini episodes.
But it will be very, very fun. I'm very excited for it. But guys, you can always go to rocketpunchgo.com. That's going to be your one-stop shop to find everything Rocket Punch, all of our podcasts, including the Rocket Punch Cast, including Tank and Spank, our Blizzard podcast that we'll host there. You can also host, or if you can also help us keep the mics on here by swinging over to patreon.com/rocketpunch there. For as little as $1 a month, you can help keep the mics rolling here and help support the show so we can do bigger and better things for you.
Now, if you're on the fence of maybe we need to go even further beyond, but I'm not sure if we're quite there yet as fans, I need you to go ahead and just imagine, go to our website, rocketpunchgo.com, pull up the About Us page, see Cam's face, see my face, and then think Sarah McLachlan.
Oh my God. I will. Is that Sarah McLachlan?
Yeah, I think that's her.
Oh man, see, now I'm thinking for only $1 a month, you too could help out this lovely child here as he creates content for you in your ears. But that's a good analogy. I like that. I like that a lot.
Hey man, you know what? I just thought, roll with it.
We're burning through all the quick rest of the housekeeping because we do have a lot to talk about, guys. Remember, if you are watching via video any of our shows, if you're an Amazon Prime member, we would love it if you threw us your Twitch Prime, your free sub, each and every month. That really helps us out as well. Also, if you're listening via audio, please take some time, rate and review the show. That does help our discoverability and helps us get to more ears so we can make better content for you guys as well. That's it. That's our housekeeping. There's no table talk today. None of these episodes are going to have table talk. We're going to jump right in here. Talk about topic of the show, which is basically our E3 2018 breakdown. What happened at E3 at each of these conferences? This is point one, so this episode is going to be dedicated to EA. We're going to take all the conferences in order that they kind of rolled out. I think that we thought that would be the easiest way to do it. But are you ready for this?
Yeah, let's go through the second most disappointing
conference really?
Of this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I only have one that's more disappointing, and I'll go ahead and tell you when we get there.
Okay. Definitely let me know here. I'm actually, one of the things I wanted to, let's see, I'm gonna steal this from some other guys I know. We're at the end of our conversations, we're going to rank these.
Okay.
Based on just a ranking system. I'm typing in here. People are like, well,
good. It just got quieter. I'm glad I got the last one. Yes.
Okay. So we've got our rankings here. We're going to go through each conference, guys. And at the end of each episode, we're actually going to kind of, after we've talked about everything, we're going to rank how we felt about it. Not basically like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, but basically on a, we have a five tier rank. starting from the top, God tier conference and showing.
Yeah.
Great, good, meh, or dumpster fire. Can't get worse than a dumpster fire.
Yeah, I can agree with you there.
And so we're going to go through all these, talk about these games, and then we're going to, at the end of the day, we will give the official Rocket Punch seal of whatever the hell we're going to give this.
All right, let's do this. Leroy! Oh, wait, what?
Whoa, this is wrong podcast, man. This is Rocket Punch.
It said
Rocket Punch. But it's game related, though. Now, one of the things I also want to make sure as well, and I'll make sure to announce it every episode, is that we are referencing a lot of the articles that Kotaku has released about each conference and what they showed. We found that they were the best at like kind of boiling down what announcements were showed at each conference. So this is the games we're going to be pulling from this article is from Kotaku by Kirk Hamilton over at Kotaku. We'll make sure to put the article in the show notes so you guys can reference these as well.
I think he did all of them.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
Oh, that makes it super easy then.
Yeah, let's see. That's the Sony one. Where's the Nintendo? Yeah, no, he did all of them. Okay. I have them all open.
Okay.
If you don't know who Kirk Hamilton is, do you know who Jason Schreier is? If you don't know either of them, go listen to Kotaku Split Screen.
It's really good.
We're not sponsored in any way, but I do enjoy their podcast.
I need to listen to their podcast. I like Jason a lot.
Yeah, he's a cool dude.
Yeah, he tells it like it is, and that's what I like about him. But I digress. We're not here to talk about Kotaku. We're here to talk about EA's press conference. So EA had their first press conference on Saturday. I think we were all over the place, so we actually didn't cover this one.
I wasn't even in this county on Saturday.
Yeah, I wasn't. I was like 3 hours, 4 hours away.
Yeah, so we were both out of town.
Oh yeah.
Luckily, well, I'll let you start.
Yeah, let's start down the row here. Some of the games based on the article here, Battlefield 5 was shown off.
Yep. Destructible environments and a battle royale mode. Surprise.
Yeah. Do they say what the battle royale mode was called? I can't remember what it's called.
Royale Reimagined is how they announced it.
Okay. They haven't given a name. It's not like Blackout or anything with Call of Duty.
No, they really haven't said.
But one of the things that I'm sure fans were excited about, they did come out and say no loot boxes, no premium pass for the game.
When I see it.
The gamer fan base is rabid enough. They have people on one of the biggest gaming stages of the world saying no loot boxes, no premium passes. They're going to hold them to it. I'm sure there's going to be purchasable content. It just won't be like in loot box form. It'll be cosmetic stuff that you can buy if you want it.
Now, I'm going to go ahead and come out and say this, man. I think EA is really missing out on one particular thing. Their CEO had such a good Satan outfit, and then he rolled it to like Steve Jobs' turtleneck, trying to be all more like approachable or not. It's like, just go back to who you are.
Andrew Wilson, CEO. I like Andrew Wilson. I don't know from as a person. When I see him on the stage and he's talking, he's projecting a good message. Now, some of their businessy stuff, it's businessy stuff, and you know I get it, but I don't. Because you never want people to be taken advantage of.
I mean, I look at it as this. Your business practices say more about you and the kind of person you are than anything else.
Yeah.
Because there are decisions you make every day that affect your customers.
Agreed. Now, one of the weird things about this showing was that they had this... They talked a lot about multiplayer real quick, but they never really showed any of the single-player stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They basically came out and said that you're going to learn more about the single-player story at Microsoft's press conference. On the next day.
I don't remember seeing.
It was there. It was very short. It was maybe a few, like a quick little 2 or 3 minute video. It's just really interesting that I guess people, I mean, like Call of Duty, most people do care about the multiplayer more than the single player. But as a single player gamer for those FPSs, I would have liked to at least seen something on from EA stage about like at least a little bit more detail about that first player mode.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not kidding Battlefield this year. It's not any reason other than it's EA, man.
Did you get it last year at all?
I ended up getting Battlefield 1 on some kind of flash sale.
Really?
Yeah. The main reason I bought it, flight. I love in-game flight dogfights. And they
Yeah, because you get in the airplanes and whatnot. Yeah. Those were cool. I did like seeing those.
Now, I only ended up paying like $20 or something stupid for that game. So it was a weird sale that popped up. But yeah, I caught it on sale.
You did catch a nice deal. But it was really weird. You know, I'm not a huge Battlefield fan, so I wasn't too, you know, crazy about that. One of the other things in the article, this is a weird way to talk about this game, but I know they had been hyped and talked about Respawn was going to be there. They said that they had three projects they were working on, and they didn't really have anything to talk about now, but they may like give little teases and whatnot for one of them. He wasn't on stage. Like, the host, Andrea Renee, went out into the audience and sat and talked with him. And there was no key art, no nothing. It was just him sitting there. And but he did give us some information for one of their Star Wars game. It's going to be called Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
Yeah, it's supposedly coming holiday 2019.
Sure.
I said supposedly, didn't I?
Yeah. They say holiday 2019. It will be delayed till
2020.
Early 2020, 100%.
Maybe 2021.
Especially if it's a Star Wars game and it's a single player, like, a single player Star Wars game that people are super, super hyped for. So definitely going to be, they're going to take their time on it. But all he really gave us was that it takes place during, quote, the dark times between episode 3 and 4. And you're going to play.
Yeah, there's a good gap where there's a lot of unexplained territory.
And basically, you're going to be a Jedi during that time when they're being hunted.
All right.
Interested? Definitely, you know, if it's anything like Jedi Knight 2.
If it's like Jedi Knight 2, I'll look at it. If it's like Force Unleashed, I'm going to pass.
Man, I hope it's not. Force Unleashed wasn't a bad game, but it was not a good game.
It wasn't amazing. Let's leave it at that.
I'll give you that. Which is like low bar for Star Wars
content. It's meh tier.
Yeah. Speaking of Star Wars, well, there's another game that it's under the EA bandwagon here. It's Battlefront 2. They came out. They talked about a lot of the updates that are coming up to Battlefront 2. We're going to the Clone Wars, people. We get good old General Grievous. But the more important one, we get my man Obi-Wan.
That is the only saving grace for that game, is you get Obi-Wan Kenobi, or as some people have been doing, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because they've been changing Obi-Wan Kenobi photos out in his full Jedi robes out in their parents' houses for the pictures of Jesus.
Wow, I'm not that huge in the fandom. But no, they...
Well, no, they've been doing it on their parents as a joke, and their parents just keep going.
Yeah, they wouldn't be able to tell the difference. That's funny on a lot of different levels. But no, they announced new heroes, General Grievous, Anakin Skywalker as well, and Obi-Wan.
Okay.
New maps for the Clone Wars. But what was interesting about this conference is that, like, right before they started talking about announcements, they came out on stage and had a kind of a few minutes to really kind of not really saying it directly, but kind of saying, yeah, when it came out, we had a bumpy road. We've learned from those mistakes. And now we're moving forward, you know, because of those hiccups at the start, it slowed our content down that we wanted to release, which is understandable. But it was really interesting how they talked about that. Now, when we get near the end, I'm going to talk about my thoughts on that overall, because I felt like the whole conference kind of had that tone with a lot of the bigwigs that were talking about some of this stuff. But, I mean, Battlefront 2, did you buy it?
No.
Okay. I didn't know.
Seth bought it.
Mm.
Seth is our friend that bought it.
He did buy it.
And he was the one who was the most butthurt about it.
He was.
No, he is our resident Star Wars guru. So yeah,
100%. Now, but I, you know, I've never been a big fan of Battlefront, so it didn't affect me any.
Yeah, now the indie side of things. We had Unravel 2.
Yes, this was cool to see.
It's a yarn co-op adventure, and it's available as of their announcement.
Yeah, that was like their stealth drop for that one. They basically said, "Yep, it's available now."
I don't like stealth drops.
You don't?
No, there's no time for the hype train to get going. So I feel like a lot of these games end up falling by the wayside.
I think it depends on the game. Like, you don't stealth drop The Last of Us Part 2.
No.
But, like, for these smaller indie games, I think they're small enough that you can... That gets a lot of attention, especially in a conference when you're like... You're sitting here watching, learning about these games, and you see this game, like, oh, this is kind of interesting. And then you find out, boom, it's available now. okay, I'm here. Let me get my phone out. Let me check this out. I want to see how much this is. I think it draws interest for a game that may otherwise kind of fall to the wayside.
Gotcha.
A little bit. So maybe. That's my thought on it. But yeah, they said that it's co-op, like you said, Will. You can play single player if you want. Yep. But they do have a cool little co-op component on there as well. But it's more Unravel. I think this was a cool game. I never got to play it, but I think it was a cool game to kind of pop up with. And
I'm just happy that someone's given more indie stage time, so that's cool.
Yeah, I definitely enjoy that. Next game, speaking of more indies, this was a cool game to see. It was called Sea of Solitude. It's from German studio Jome Games. This is kind of their next big EA Originals game. They're kind of helping to prop up as part of their plan, because they kind of had a quick moment to talk about with Yarny and Unravel, and they talked about Way Out and how successful that studio's been, that now they're getting a bigger office. This was really cool to see. I think that the dev may have went on a little too long at the start.
According to this, it was a winningly wandering way by writer creative director. That's how it was.
Yeah.
Creative director Cornelia Geppert. I don't know, man.
It was the gameplay was cool, but at least for me in the conference, like, she was up there. I felt for a really long time trying to talk about this game and talk about the feelings on it. Like, okay, we get it. Show us the game.
Yeah, no, I can agree with you there. Do you mind if I talk about the next game a little bit?
Please, no, please. I know I can't say anything about this.
All right, so Command and Conquer, you know, old school RTS.
It's back. It's back, right?
No. They decided to take a beloved franchise in the RTS crowd and do the worst thing possible. They turned it into a mobile dumpster fire. So you too can light your phone on fire and throw it in a dumpster.
And I'm going to be honest, I don't have anything.
If they had released a proper Command & Conquer on PC, I probably would have bought it.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I like RTSs.
I like them too. I wanted to play Civ 6. I'm like, I got it now. I'm going to play that now. So
I still have Warcraft 3 installed on everything.
Of course you do, because you're freaking Will.
It's on my MacBook Pro right now. It's actually in my dock.
I'm verifying that, yes, it is, in fact, in his dock still.
So, but I enjoy an RTS. I'm not religious. I'm not a master grand champion at them, but it's fun.
Now, what's interesting is that, number one, I think the game looked cool. When I saw the gameplay, I was like, oh, this is really interesting.
Yeah, the problem is we have this brand and franchise has been dark for a while, and the fans are like, oh, Command & Conquer, great. Why are they pulling their phones out?
Yeah.
And you just took a traditional PC game, and the fans didn't want anything to do with mobile. The traditional fans of this game, and I think they've shot themselves in the foot with it.
I think what hurt this game even more is you got to, like, when they brought it out, they didn't even show the game. They just had two shoutcasters come out first, and like, I'm such and such. I'm this guy. We're shoutcasters. We're going to be going through this process. And there was this huge, long part in the conference where these two rando dudes come out on their mobile phones and they're playing this game on the stage. I don't know why people haven't learned, don't bring shoutcasters on the E3 stage. Xbox did it last year with one of their games they showed.
Yeah.
And it was awkward as hell. And it was extra cringy this year.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, the only time you better be bringing a shoutcaster onto the stage is if you're stopping everything to have an actual gaming tournament.
Yes.
Like Nintendo does with, you know, Smash Bros, where they do an invitational and they take their E3 time and they make it a tournament. And that makes sense.
That makes total sense. It's so weird.
Like, I can forgive Nintendo for having shoutcasters in those instances because it's an actual tournament.
Yep.
There are professional gamers. They're out there playing. And okay.
I didn't know you were a huge Command & Conquer fan, so you probably weren't too happy.
Well, no, I'm an RTS fan. I've played Command & Conquer back in the day. I've played a lot of Warcraft, a lot of Starcraft. What's another one I've played? Hang on. I'm not going to open Steam right now. Sorry. We're going to move on. I've played a lot of them just because it was one of the few games I can get into where I could play the computer for hours upon hours. And
yeah.
Yeah. The next one is something you're hyped for and I'm kind of meh on.
I'm hyped, but I'm like, I'm hyped in the way like I want this to succeed because it looks cool, and but I just haven't. And we're going to talk about it here. They finally ended the conference with a lot of Anthem talk, and I put me personally, I put a lot in quotes because of reasons. They kind of go through this with me, Will. Just hold my hand as we go through this. We got. What information did we get? We got another kind of. Basically, what happened during the conference, we thought we were going to get this huge blowout for Anthem. Instead, we get the director.
We get a gameplay mission, in air quotes, where the AI is disabled, so it's essentially a shooting gallery.
AI was disabled on that?
Yes. Oh, man. So they flew in, blew everything up, made it look real cool. Except nothing shot back because there was no active AI. And
also, like, the gameplay was... It was definitely edited. It was chopped up. You could tell when they had transitions to different spots. And it wasn't, like, a full-on playthrough.
No, it's definitely a vertical slice.
Yeah. Very, very vertical. But, like, they had basically a panel. I'm doing like a panel.
It's like a Comic-Con panel about a game that's supposed to be coming out next February.
Yeah.
I don't believe it's coming out next February.
Yeah, they were still showing concept art. We did learn a little bit more about the javelins and that you have four different types. The Ranger, the Storm, the Interceptor, and the Colossus. The Colossus? Oh, we got hiccups.
I'm guessing the Colossus is your tank.
Yes, that's the big red one.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Well, it was something that was cool. It, like, you could change between them, so you weren't necessarily locked into one class. You could pick whatever one you needed to based on the time at hand. They have said it's a BioWare game, but they've said that it's designed to be multiplayer, but you can play the game single player as well.
They've also said there's no PvP.
No PvP. I think I've heard that it's not at launch and they're trying to work that into a patch after the fact. We'll see.
Not everything needs PvP, though.
I agree 100%. I'm totally fine with not having PvP in this game. I feel like we didn't get the blowout we wanted.
We didn't get the blowout they needed to give to make people feel like this game's actually about to come out in February.
Yeah, and that thing, you hit the nail on the head. There's like... Apparently, this game is coming out February 22nd, 2019. That's the release date. But based on what was shown and what was talked about, it's really hard to believe that. Like, I was hoping to see tons of gameplay, see the world, see how big it is, especially for this game that's supposed to be so far along that we've got, 8 months until its release? Something like that?
Yeah.
So it was really, really weird to see so... It felt like... It was a decent chunk, but it was weird to see so little.
I am hesitant about this game after the whole Bungie issues where they were an amazing developer and it fell from grace hardly excessively difficult because of their own decisions and the continued desire to reboot a game mid-development with it coming out a year later. I just don't trust any of these big games that can't prove themselves. There's a reason why I'm so hyped for The Division 2 right now, and I'm not hyped for any of these other open-world shooters. Because Ubisoft Massive went through all the effort to fix The Division 1 and make it a decent playable game.
Yeah. I'll definitely say I think The Division, not to get off on tangent, we'll talk about Division
and Ubisoft. Yeah, I mean, that'll be more there, but...
I think that the first one wasn't a bad game at launch. It's just there's a lot of missteps, and I think after the whole Destiny thing as well, and that's coming out, like, people were taking off on it. It's had a very, I think, a much more vibrant, or at least, I'm not going to say vibrant, much more solid fan base and community than Destiny has been lately.
Well, not only that, my thing with The Division right now is you can pick it up on any platform, and it feels totally different than when the game first came out.
Mm-hmm.
It feels stable. And, another thing... It actually feels like the game had people care about it going into it. Whereas I pick up Destiny right now and I feel like it's a bland vanilla experience and that the decisions I make playing the game don't really matter.
Yeah, man. We're going to get it. Believe me, I already see on the horizon a podcast episode about shared world shooters. It's going to happen.
Oh, there will be. Once Anthem comes out in like 2021... and Division 3 has come out, we'll be able to sit down and talk about it.
Yeah, I'm not going to be surprised if that game, this game gets delayed again. But I like reason I'm excited about it, from people that have were at E3 and they did play the game, they were excited. They were like, this game feels cool. It feels like Iron Man floating around doing whatever. But like you said, it was a very small vertical slice. And but still, I think that the big one for me is I'm cautiously optimistic on this game. Like, I like this game. It looks very, very cool. It's right up my alley. But it concerns me we haven't seen as much as we have with the release date coming up very quickly.
Now, do you think we would see more at Gamescom? I only say it because that and Tokyo Game Show are going to be the last two big shows before this supposedly comes out.
Yes, possibly to Gamescom, no to Tokyo Game Show.
You don't think this appeals to the Eastern masses?
Potentially, but I don't see. I haven't heard anything about them driving the game that hard over there.
Gotcha.
So I don't think it'll pop up.
So Gamescom is their last possible show.
I think Gamescom's their strong one. Maybe unless
they do like PSX or something like that.
I think they've got a partnership with Microsoft, so I doubt they'll do
PSX. Oh, so then, yeah. I mean, PAX?
You might see it at PAX. You may see something at PAX.
Yeah. That's the only other thing I could think of.
Yeah, that's all I can think of, too. But they rounded it out with Anthem. A couple of other things they pointed out in the article here. We got, you know, your sports game, so FIFA 19, Madden 19, they talked about that. They talked about the enhanced Origins Access.
What is this?
Bundle. Yeah, it's called Origins Access Premier, which basically gets you get every full game release from EA. So Madden 19,
it's FIFA Game 19. Pass for EA.
But it's, yeah, okay.
Let's just break it down. It's Game Pass, but for EA.
You still get their EA catalog, so all their, like, vault games. But you'll also be able, like, on day one, actually, you'll be able to get it early access to the newest games released, including all the newest sports games, Anthem, any EA game that comes out there, you'll be able to get it. Now, I have heard, confirmed that the price for this is $100 a year. And yeah. Now, hold on a second. Wait, don't turn off the mics just yet. Hold on a second. That does seem like a lot, but if you think about, if you were planning to buy at least two of the games that I mentioned, like you're going to buy Madden and Anthem, say you are, EA Access Origins Premier has already paid. You've already paid for it in full.
No, that's true. My issue right now, actually, because I do actually like Madden occasionally. Is the newest Madden's not going to have a single player story mode?
From what I've heard,
Jason Schreier was talking about it.
That's true, but I'm curious to know if I even care about single player mode for Madden.
I enjoy it.
Do you like it?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I enjoy the single player story mode for Madden anyway because I get to take a franchise that always loses and make them win.
Yeah,
being game a Dolphins, of dreams. Being a Dolphins fan, you know, it's like the year of dreams.
Tampa Bay Bucks fan here, I'm with you.
Hey, man, you guys won more recently than we have.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
70s.
Oh. They went through and talked about Origin Access Premier and that subscription service. And a couple of other, those are the kind of big hitter things there. But yeah, that was generally the conference for EA. What, overall, your thoughts on the conference?
Meh.
Meh?
Okay. My rating is a meh. There's nothing that blows me away. I am, oh, well, that's a shame.
Continue.
Sorry, I got distracted. No, I don't know, man. I want more out of EA. I hope they're making decisions they actually mean to make, and they're actually doing better for the gamers.
Mm-hmm.
Historically, though, they have been ranked the worst in gaming multiple years.
Okay.
So, I don't trust them. They have to, as I said earlier, show me the money.
Show me the money!
Yes. I didn't even know where that was from. Cam had to educate me.
I did educate
me. I am a classless, uneducated fool.
My thoughts on it, I want to give it a good, and that's even like I'm gonna be very, very honest. I'm really thinking about it. Hold on, if I think about that conference overall for me, you know what? No, I'm gonna sit in the boat with you. I'm gonna give it a meh. I'm gonna be honest. For me, the big thing that kind of bumped it up to a meh for me is Anthem. I at least appreciated we got some news on it, but some of this, just the awkward stuff. There were a lot of, I think, a little too much. I'm fine with people talking on stage, but there's a point where it gets too long that you kind of have to say, okay, we got to do something with this. Was really interesting. None of the other games really appealed to me, but I can understand where they appealed to everybody else. But Anthem, I was excited for. For all the other games that were talked about, Battlefield, Battlefront, nothing else. I'm a little miffed that all we got from Respawn's group was just some talk. They didn't even show a splash screen or a logo. So that game is definitely way off, way further off than you think. But yeah, I think meh is the verdict I gotta give that one.
That or a heavy sigh. One of the two.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is.
Oh, well. But good thing we started off the slowest conference.
We'll see. We still got a couple more conferences to go through, guys. So this is going to be the end of this part for the EA's press conference from E3 2018. Again, guys, thank you so much for listening here. We're going to continue on with the next one in the series, which should be Microsoft. So stay tuned. Definitely that'll pop up in your podcast feed. See you shortly.
That'll be 103.2.
That's right.
And well,
thanks, guys. And we will see you on the next episode.